Gallup. I'm Muhammad Yunus, and this is the Gallup Podcast. In this episode, as we close out Black History Month for 2021, we explore a new report on faith within Black American communities in the United States. Dr. Bashir Muhammad is senior researcher at Pew Research Center. Much of his work focuses on religious identity, and he and our friends at Pew just released a new and unique report on faith among Black Americans. Bashir, welcome to the show, my friend.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Your study is called Faith Among Black Americans. I want to ask you first, why did you want to do this study?
So this study is actually the result of a multi-year project at the Pew Research Center. And the fact is that over the years, we've done lots of work where we were able to compare Black Americans to other racial groups. But we haven't as often been able to really look deep at Black American communities. And so a focused study like this lets us do at least two things. First, it lets us ask questions which are particularly relevant or particularly significantly important to Black American and their religious lives. For example, the role of the Black church. That's a question that we want to ask Black Americans that for the larger public, it just wouldn't make a whole lot of sense to ask a question about the role of the Black church. So there's a set of questions that we wanted to ask. The other is this. The sort of core of this study is a survey of almost 9,000 Black respondents. And a survey that large lets us get beyond a general, here's what Black Americans think, and look at some of those smaller subgroups of Black Americans that often get missed when we talk about sort of the Black experience. For example, this study can look at African immigrants. It can look at Black Catholics. It can look at religiously unaffiliated Blacks. And so there's a number of these groups that when we tell the story about Black Americans writ large, get lost. And so a focus study like this lets us answer some of those questions as well.
And it's such a great example or reason why I was so eager, Bashir, to talk to you about this report, because a lot of times our focus really is to go kind of across the surface to compare groups. What you all have done is really gone very deep on one group that's very diverse, but also within a specific subject matter. So before we dig into the findings, tell us a little bit more about the methodology, who you connected with, how you met with these respondents. Was this a phone poll? Tell us more about it.
Sure. So this is sort of a multi-pronged effort. To begin with, we consulted with a number of outside advisors, experts in the field, both religious leaders, academic experts, quantitative experts, qualitative experts that have been studying Black American religious life and Black American life and culture more broadly. So we consulted with outside experts. We also did a series of focus groups where we are able to really explore a sort of on the ground perspective and let respondents really talk in their own words, right? Because once you get down to the surveys, you're forcing them into sort of buckets. You're forcing them down specific paths. And so we want to make sure that those are the right paths, that the words we're using, the language we're using matches. And actually the results from that focus group also wound up being its own chapter within the report, because there was this narrative that came up in the focus groups about the concept of the Black church, the word, the phrase Black church, and sort of what does it mean and sort of what are the nuances there. And we really felt like, even though we're proud of the survey questions we designed, we felt like there was a certain aspect of that that really had been better captured by the focus groups. And so we just wrote those focus groups up. We also did interviews with clergy members, both off the record to get a sort of general sense of what they thought, and also on the record, and sort of wrote up their views of Black churches, the future of Black churches, what they're doing to adapt to challenges. So all of those things are part of the study. And then the core of the product is this large survey of almost 9,000 Black respondents. And to do a study like that with that larger sample takes some doing. So for those of you that are familiar with the Pew Research Center, we have our American Trends panel, which we use to do periodic studies every month or so on a variety of topics. But looking just at the American Trends panel, we didn't have enough Black respondents to really look at some of the nuance that I mentioned. So we looked around for other sort of nationally representative panels that we could sort of buy space on or we could buy a wave on. And so we reached out to NORC And how many Black respondents do you have on your panel? Well, we want to talk to all of them. We reached out to Ipsos, who runs the knowledge panel, and we had the same conversation. Well, how many Black respondents do you have on your panel? We want to talk to all of them. And even after doing that, we felt like we still don't have enough Black respondents to look at some of these groups that we're really interested in. And so then we did an entire another set, sort of fresh set of recruitment of almost 4,000 Black respondents. Now, these weren't people that had previously signed up to do surveys and all this. And so that required a series, a longer process where we'd mail out an invitation and then we'd do a screening interview, because most of the people we reach out to aren't, we don't know their racial background. They're not likely to be Black, because most people in the country aren't. And so we do a screening process, and then if they are qualified, they take the main survey. Now, the main mode for all of this was online. So this was an online survey. It was sort of nationally representative. It wasn't an opt-in study, but it was mostly online. But we're also sensitive to the fact that many Black Americans don't have internet access, don't have reliable access, are not well reached by that mode. And so there are a number of other things we did. So for some of the respondents, we did phone calls. They actually were able, we sort of called people who don't have internet access and did the interview over the phone. For others, we did it by mail. So ultimately, we'd send these invites saying, you know, would you like to go online and take this survey? Please go online and take this survey. Okay, fine. You're not ever going to go online. Here's a paper copy of the survey and a self-addressed stamp envelope. Just take a pencil, write it out, put it in the envelope, and send it back to us.
This is for those listening, Bashir and I are good friends, and that's exactly how he talks to me when I don't respond to his text messages. It just shows up in my mind. So, yeah. And I wanted you to get into that, Bashir, because it really gets to the complexity of using different modes, but also getting deep enough to really understand the nuances of a community. Again, like often spoken of, rarely heard from. Right, directly. Mm-hmm. Right. So I really appreciate you getting into those details, because it really highlights why we know so little, really, data-based knowledge about so many of the issues we want to dig into. Let me just ask you, what were some of the huge findings that kind of just hit you in the face? You're like, wow, I can't believe that.
What's most striking to me personally, as someone who does a lot of research on Muslims in particular and other religious groups, was some of the analysis we had about, you know, what's sometimes called syncretism. So people who are comfortable sort of dipping into multiple religious practices, identities, in various ways. So for example, we had people who say that they identify religiously as Christian, or even more specifically, maybe as Baptist or as Catholic, but also feel a strong affinity to Islam. So they say, like, even to go so far as to say that aside from religion, they consider themselves Muslims because they feel that, you know, Islam has a lot in common with Christianity, or because they feel that Islam is sort of the natural religion for the Black man. So there's this sort of tie between Islam and sort of a racial identity. So that was really most interesting to me as someone who studies Islam a lot of times as well as this. I think for folks who are less familiar with the Black church, broadly speaking, you know, one of the most striking things is just sort of the enduring presence and significance of Black Protestant congregations. The fact that it's still the case that most Protestants, about two-thirds of Black Protestants who attend religious services at all, do so at a congregation where the majority of the leadership and the majority of the other folks in the pews identify as Black. So those Black churches continue to have an enduring sort of appeal or significance. And I think that's, you know, for folks who aren't as familiar with the Black church, I think that's probably, you know, a major finding.
I'll ask you, Bashir, you're literally like one of the world's experts on this. Is it true that Sunday morning is kind of one of the most segregated moments in American society in terms of racial demographics?
So we do see that there's a significant impulse, it seems like, among many Black respondents, in particular Black Protestants, to be in a racial in a space on Sunday for church where other folks and the leadership identifies as Black or is Black or as African American. It's worth noting that at the same time, these same people actually often are very uncomfortable with the idea that this is a segregated space, which is to say that...
Which has this sort of a negative connotation.
Right. For example, we asked the question about whether congregations that have historically been majority Black should continue to retain their racial character or should work to become more racially and ethnically diverse. And even people who go to Black congregations often said that they feel like these congregations should become more racially and ethnically diverse. In fact, most Black Americans, about 6 in 10, who attend religious services at a Black congregation also say that these congregations should work to become more racially and ethnically diverse. And most of them say if they were looking for a new congregation, the race of the pastor or the race of the congregation would not be a high priority. And I think part of what's going on there is that there are a number of ways in which these congregations are distinctive beyond just the racial character. We ask questions about the style of worship. And in Black Protestant churches, almost universally, 99%, which, you know, if you know surveys, you know, like that, you don't get numbers that high or higher. Like, yeah. But almost universally, they said that their congregation included a call and response, the pastor would say something, they'd say something, amen, or something like that. And that's much less common in congregations where whites or some other group are the majority. And similarly, for a number of Pentecostal practices that we asked about, they're much more common in Black churches than in white or other race churches. So there's differences in the style of worship. There's also differences in the content of the sermons. Black Americans who were going to Black churches were much more likely to say that they had heard sermons that addressed race relations, addressed criminal justice reform, addressed voting, protest, other forms of political engagement, than people who are going to white or other race congregations.
Which and really so, gets to the, to me, it explains a lot of the Islam piece, right? Because a lot of the history of Muslim movements that focused on those issues, you know, were right side to side throughout the civil rights movement before and after, next to Christian organizations. Actually, you know, some of the most famous Muslim civil rights leaders, like, for example, Malcolm X, some of his most famous speeches were actually delivered places like the Abyssinian Baptist Church in New York and other, Black community churches.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we get that as well in the study. You know, we asked people about a variety of institutions and the role that they had played in helping Blacks move toward equality. And most Black Americans say that, not surprisingly, Black churches played a significant role in helping Blacks move toward equality. Many, about half, maybe a little more than half, say that the Black Muslim organizations, like the Nation of Islam, played a significant role in helping Blacks move toward equality. They were much less likely to say, for example, white churches played a significant role in helping Blacks move toward equality. And there was even a fair amount of skepticism about the role that the federal government played in helping Blacks move toward equality. Civil rights organizations got a lot of sort of credit, but we also see, as I said, sort of very high up there, Black churches and to a lesser extent, Black Muslim organizations in this, you know, fight for freedom, fight for equality.
Tell us about age differences. Were there like big noticeable, you know, comparative differences between younger Black Americans, older generations?
Yeah, there were. And, you know, I said earlier that in many ways, the enduring significance and draw of Black congregations could be striking for someone who's not familiar with the landscape. But I think for anyone who's at all familiar with the landscape, there's an important caveat there, which is that draw varies by age. Older Black adults are much more likely than younger Black adults to go to a Black congregation. And there are at least two reasons why we see that. One is that older Black adults are just more likely to go to any congregation. Younger folks, millennials, Gen Z, are less likely than older folks to attend religious services. And this is true among Black Americans, just like it's true in the public writ large. But then among Blacks that are going to congregation at all. Younger Blacks are more likely than older Blacks to go to a congregation where whites or some other group are the majority. So we see these two pulls away from the Black church. One is away from church writ large, and the other is toward other types of churches.
You also explored political preferences and some socio-political views across communities within the Black church sort of experiences across the country. What did you find?
So there are a number of interesting political and social patterns that we saw in this study. And one that's particularly striking is a contrast, really, between what we see among Blacks and among whites, because it's sort of a non-finding. And it's the fact that we don't see a big partisan split by religiosity. Among whites, more religious whites, by a variety of measures, are more likely to be Republican.
This is a tradition, like, you know, this is one of the old rules that's remained really steadfast and true.
Right. And so when people speak in generalities, often they're like, well, more religious people tend to be Republican. And implicitly, what they mean is more religious white people tend to be Republican, but that gets lost. And so people make these narratives about more religious people tend to be Republican. And we see very clearly in this data that just does not hold for Blacks. Blacks are overall much more likely to be Democrat than Republicans. About 84% of Blacks identify as Democrats or lean in that toward the Democratic Party, where only about 10% identify or lean toward the Republican Party. But which of them they lean toward has nothing to do with whether or not they see religion as very important, whether or not they attend religious services, whether or not they pray. None of those things are at all correlated with that difference. And that's one of those things that you can only see when you've got a large enough sample that you can look at 10% of Blacks and see, well, what are their views on this, that, and the other thing? And we do see the striking finding where there isn't really a correlation between religiosity and partisanship.
What about socio-political views? Did you guys ask about, like, attitudes about gay marriage, things like that?
Yeah, we did. And we see on views of sexuality, things like whether homosexuality should be accepted by society, whether things like that. What we see is that, you know, and this part isn't really super surprising, because we had seen this in the past. Black Americans tend to be a bit more conservative on some of these things than the public writ large, which, you know, going back to the political point, sometimes puts them in tension with the Democratic Party that they
exactly
align with, right? So we definitely see that. But, you know, beyond those questions, I think there are a number of other social and political things that Black Americans flag as being important religiously. So, for example, we asked about what they see as essential to their faith. You know, we ask Christians, for example, what do you think is essential to being for being Christian? We ask Muslims what's essential to being Muslim. And what we see is that, you know, belief in God really high. Most Black Americans who are affiliated with a religion say belief in God is essential to their religion. No surprise there. The next most common thing, and it's, you know, nearly 8 in 10 Black Americans, is opposing racism.
Fascinating.
And not far behind that is opposing sexism. And so these are things that Black Americans see as central, not just morally important, not just things that we ought to do, but central to their religious identity.
Yeah. And to being a good Christian, being a good Muslim, that's really fascinating. I mean, it makes sense, but it's just so profound. Mm-hmm. Do you ask similar questions of, like, white respondents who go to have the same level of, let's say, religiosity? I know obviously religiosity is really complex, but we tend to mean those two questions. Is it important to you? And then how often do you attend?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did. That's one of those things. And there are a number of questions like this where, to be perfectly honest, the focus of our analysis wasn't comparing Blacks to whites. And so there's a number of levels of analysis that we haven't done yet. And that's one of them.
Yeah.
I think this, you know, like I said, we've worked on this study for a number of years, and putting out the report is sort of in a certain sense, the culmination of that. But the fact is that a project like this, a study like this, we're going to want to continue to mine for years to come.
Of course, absolutely.
So there's a whole set of questions like that we fully intend to explore, and we just haven't had a chance to. I mean, the report now is already almost 200 pages long. If we had tried to work all that other stuff in, yeah.
But we live in a digital world, so it's okay for it to be. Let me ask you just as a final question, Bashir. You're somebody that came to this study really with a lot of experience and expertise and years of using survey research to study religious identity in many contexts. Tell us about one or two things that really surprised you. You kind of walk away saying, wow, I had no idea that I'd find that. When you set out to kind of design the framework of this at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that fortunately, usually in this sort of a project, when you get to that point, if you're getting big surprises, it's usually a warning sign. So there weren't a whole lot of things that I got. I was like, whoa, what happened there? But I think one thing that, one of the things that we saw that were really striking, to be honest, I didn't have great intuitions toward, was the data that we found on African immigrants. It's one of those things that once you stop and think about it, it tracks. But I hadn't really spent the time thinking through, well, what should we expect to see from them? And what we saw was that African immigrants tend to be more religious than U.S.-born blacks by a variety of measures. You know, your attendance to religious services, your self-reported importance, your daily prayer, biblical literacy, by a whole host of measures, African immigrants tend to be more religious than U.S.-born blacks. And they also tend to be more, whether you want to say traditional, conservative, on a variety of things, including questions about gender roles, questions about sexuality. So that was something that was interesting to me, that African immigrants were so clearly different from U.S.-born blacks on these measures.
Bashir Muhammad is a senior researcher at Pew Research Center. Bashir, thank you so much for this work, and thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.
That's our podcast. Thank you for tuning in. To subscribe to the podcast from any podcast app, just search the Gallup Podcast. And for more key findings from Gallup News, go to news.gallup.com or follow us at Gallup News. If you have questions, feedback, or suggestions on topics for future episodes, we want to hear from you. Write to us directly by emailing podcast@gallup.com. This Gallup Podcast is directed by Curtis Grubb and produced by Justin McCarthy. I'm Muhammad Yunus. And this is Gallup, reporting on the will of the people since the 1930s.